The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet won't be joining us today. If you heard the show yesterday, you saw her voice was had a little laryngitis and got a little worse today. So you wouldn't be able to really hear her if she did join us. So hopefully she'll be back tomorrow. I want to remind our listeners, our sponsor is Advanced Medical Testing Centers, and they're a place where you can go to have blood drawn. And what sets them apart from other places, a couple things. They'll draw blood for any lab, number one, and they'll process your insurance where appropriate so that if you have coverage for the test, you'll get it covered. And, of course, the other part that sets them apart is, you know, it's just very fast, efficient service. And this this Saturday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., they're having an event. Unfortunately, it's all sold out, but we're going to have another one again on January 9th on a Saturday. And the purpose of the event is to introduce advanced medical testing centers to everybody and to entice people to come down, make an appointment. They're doing a CBC, a serum chemistry panel, and urine analysis free of charge for people. Plus, you'll have the opportunity to order other tests that you may want to have at significantly low prices. Actually, prices, I think, better than you can get anywhere else. For example, yesterday we were talking about vitamin C, and for the event, you can get a serum vitamin C level for $39. Just an example. One of the popular tests that were done, the reason they're having the event early in the morning so people can come in fasting is you can get your fasting blood sugar and fasting insulin levels done, the two tests together, for just $31. You can add on a hemoglobin A1C, which is your average blood sugar over a three-month period, for an additional $16. So those are really, really good prices. I recommend you give them a call. Sometimes there are cancellations, so you might be able to get in this Saturday. If not, they can put you on the list for January 9th. And the number to call is 754-216-2332. Also, they have a website. It's amtcenters.com. And all this information is listed there as well. By the way, AMT Centers is located on Commercial Boulevard, just a couple blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. We also have a website for this radio show. It's naturaldocradio.com, where we archive all the programs. So if you miss something or you want to share it with somebody, you can direct them to that website. And, of course, my office has a website, the Institute of Advanced Medicine, or you can go to drslavin.com. We have a lot of important information. I want to start off today's program describing a typical patient, at least initially, because if they stay with us a while, all these symptoms go away. But this is a sort of a typical patient going to any doctor's office. What's different is the approach to the problems. All right, so here's a typical patient complaining of chronic pain, depression, obesity, diabetes, fatigue, fibromyalgia, headaches, heartburn, acid reflux, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, irritable bowel syndrome, menopause symptoms, sleep issues, low energy. I mean, those are really the most common complaints people have when they see a doctor. The way our system is set up, to treat people after they develop a symptom. In other words, we're not proactive enough to identify people at risk of developing problems. We have to wait for the problems to develop, and then we jump in. I like the analogy that John Robbins had in one of his books, where he said the analogy he gave was our system of healthcare is watching people line up at the edge of a cliff, and we're waiting to treat them when they fall off the edge instead of stopping them from falling off the edge. And I can prove that. If you remember a few weeks ago, I hypothesized how healthcare would be practiced if there was no health insurance. And I said, if there was no health insurance, how would you address, for example, heart disease? Would you spend $150,000 out of your pocket for a bypass operation? Or would you spend $5,000 to prevent the need for a bypass operation? Well, I don't have to answer that. But let's introduce health insurance now. And all of a sudden, the insurance companies, without hesitation, spend that $150,000 for a bypass operation and spend nothing to keep people from needing the bypass operation. That's just an example of what's going on in this country. Now, those list of symptoms that I just gave, describing typical patients that go to a doctor, unfortunately, you have to have a symptom to motivate someone to see a physician, but that's the way this, most doctors operate. If you go to them without a symptom, they don't know what to do for you because they're trained to prescribe a drug to treat a symptom. In our office, we take a different approach. We want to identify people at risk before they become symptomatic because the underlying cause of the problem that you're experiencing is never a drug deficiency or a lack of a drug. And yet that's the way healthcare has been established in this country. Everything is a drug deficiency. So if you think about it, you know, there's a drug for pain, there's a drug for depression, they have drugs for obesity, for diabetes, for headaches, for heartburn, for high blood pressure, for high cholesterol, for irritable bowel syndrome, for menopause, for insomnia. Think about it. Someone comes in with all these common complaints and they have a drug for each one of those symptoms. But none of those drugs will actually get the patient better. And that's where we differ in our approach. When patients come in with these symptoms, we explain to them where the underlying problems lie. And the only way you can identify that, you know, we have a hunch what's going on, but you do the testing and you can show the people. I think when people see the lab results in black and white, showing, for example, that their fasting blood sugar is too high or their fasting insulin levels is too high, you know, that's a tip-off right away. They're consuming too many carbohydrates and sugar. So, you know, that's one approach you have to take. If their sex hormones are out of balance or very low, you know, that's going to be associated with a lot of those other symptoms. So you have to address restoring those hormone levels to a more optimal level. That helps with a lot of those symptoms. Thyroid issues is rampant, even in the face of normal blood test results. And that's the problem. We're missing a lot of people with thyroid problems because doctors are treating blood results instead of treating patients. Patients can come in with a lot of symptoms normally associated with a thyroid problem, but they're not being treated as a thyroid problem because the blood tests come back normal. Well, how can that be? Well, we know that the crucial mineral to make a functioning thyroid hormone is iodine. But very frequently, that iodine is displaced by more active minerals in the same periodic table. They're halogens. And the ones that are more active are chlorine, fluorine, and bromine. And we're exposed to that. Chlorine, of course, in the water. Fluoride in the water. Bromine, they brominate flour, for example, so it's in a lot of foods. But I want to extend it a little bit more. All right, so, you know, you're drinking purified water, so hopefully you're avoiding chlorine and fluoride. You've put whole house filters on there to block the chlorine. So if you're bathing in the shower, for example, you're not being exposed to the chlorine, both direct absorption through your skin, but also inhalation of the vapors in the shower. You want to block that. But what about all the produce and livestock that are being exposed to the chlorinated and fluoridated water? You know, how are we addressing that? Of course, I don't think we are. So there's a lot of reasons why the thyroid hormone test could be misleading. So you really have to go through a whole questionnaire of problems that somebody can have if their thyroid is off in the face of a normal blood test. Now, there are other tests. There are functional ways of determining whether there's a thyroid problem. So let's say you suspect a thyroid problem, and your blood tests for thyroid come back normal. And by the way, a lot of times they don't even do the full panel of thyroid testing that's necessary to come to that conclusion. And by that, I mean they may just test a thyroid-stimulating hormone, and they say, well, that's in the normal range. I don't have to worry about anything. But I've seen it so many times where the TSH, or thyroid-stimulating hormone, is in the normal range, and yet the active thyroid hormone, the free T3, is low. So, you know, you have to do the full panel. Or, for example, the thyroid hormones are in the normal range, but they have thyroid antibodies that's going to interfere with the body's thyroid hormone function. So a functional test you can do on your own to sort of add a little bit more parameters to diagnosing a dysfunctional thyroid is your underarm temperature. In other words, you take your temperature first thing in the morning before you get out of bed. You can do an underarm temperature, leave the thermometer there for about 10 minutes. And the normal axillary temperature first thing in the morning should be between 97.8 and 98.2. If it's lower than that, you probably have a thyroid problem. And sometimes you may have a temperature just at that borderline, 97.8 to 98.2, but you have a lot of symptoms. You know what I'll try with patients, and I'll suggest to them, well, let's add a little thyroid that you would take and see if you don't notice an improvement. And very often we do. That's called a therapeutic trial. A lot of times we'll use a medication from an examination point of view. You know, it sounds like this treatment might help. We don't have, you don't meet all the parameters to suggest the use, but sometimes using a therapeutic trial can be helpful. So what are some of the other symptoms associated with a thyroid problem? Well, gaining weight or inability to lose weight. Here's a big one, constipation. And I mentioned, low body temperature, fatigue, changes in your hair. Just to mention a few. So thyroid issues are very common. They're not acknowledged because the tests are not sensitive enough to pick it up. I hear some music, which means it's time for us to take a break. You are listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet couldn't join us today. Her voice gave out, but she'll hopefully be back tomorrow. We were just talking about the differences in how we at the Institute of Advanced Medicine approach patient complaints versus, mainstream medicine's approach. It's kind of clear. Mainstream medicine's approach is to prescribe a drug to treat a symptom. We actually want to identify people at risk before symptoms actually arise. So what does that mean? I'll give you a perfect example that even applies to mainstream medicine. High blood pressure, for example, is asymptomatic in its early stages. You don't feel anything. I mean, some of the later stages of high blood pressure could be a heart attack or a stroke or kidney failure, because that's what it can lead to untreated. But we identify people, that's an example, not just for high blood pressure, of course. But for example, what if you have insulin resistance? That's a pre-diabetic state. Mainstream medicine doesn't have an approach to that because there is no drug to treat pre-diabetes. They wait for you to become overtly diabetic, and then they say, okay, here's all the drugs. We've got a whole armamentarium of drugs that you can use. Well, that's not the approach I agree with. It would be much better to identify people at risk. Here's another idea. How about preventing the flu rather than waiting for people to get sick? Well, they want to prevent the flu with a vaccine. I think there are better ways. And here's some interesting information I came across. The headline is, doctors admit flu vaccines are useless. Well, that's a whole debate, just how effective flu vaccines is. But they're even less effective in people who are taking statin drugs. So statin drugs undermine your immune system, making the flu vaccine even less effective. Now, what percentage of the people are taking statin drugs? Now, I think, that was an interesting insight, because I never even put the two together, because I just think statin drugs are entirely the wrong approach to treating or preventing heart disease. But lots of people still take them, and I'm sure those same people are into getting flu vaccines, and it's going to block the ability of the vaccine to be effective. It goes on to say here that the Center for Disease Control and the general public continue to believe in the failing, fleeting science of vaccination against individual virus strains. And as long as they do that, they're not going to make any progress. And here's why. You need a healthy, functioning immune system to deal with all viruses, not just specific viral strains that a vaccine might address. So here's an example. Let's take a different approach, a more natural approach. Vitamin C and the enzyme catalase, which your body makes, naturally activate the thymus gland for production of T cells, and it's these cells that fight viruses once the invasion makes its way past the body's first line of defense. Well, what's the first line of defense for the body? Well, it's usually the respiratory tract in most of these viruses. When the thymus gland is activated at full potential, it produces hormone-like proteins that help the T lymphocytes mature and differentiate, and these hormones increase immune response, giving the T cells the ability to intelligently recognize differences in bacteria and viruses. In other words, you have to activate your body's immune system so it can take care of these bacteria and viruses. That's what the vaccines are supposed to do. But they're so limited in their scope. In other words, you take a vaccine that might have three strains. Let's take the flu virus, you know, three strains that they're addressing. Well, there are so many different viruses out there. It wouldn't make more sense just to strengthen your immune system so it can attack whatever virus you're being exposed to. And here's another issue. Oh, by the way, yesterday's show we talked about vitamin C, how people with the optimal levels of vitamin C had a lower incidence of stroke and heart attack, for example. Now add to that vitamin D. Vitamin D can be used to greatly enhance a person's ability to fight all potential viruses. And vitamin D helps to employ a protein called globulin. You've heard of that, immunoglobulins. They bind with vitamin D to activate macrophages, which can destroy these bacteria and viruses. So you want to make sure your vitamin D levels are optimal. How do you know if they're optimal? Because you're taking 1,000 units a day, or 5,000, or 10,000. You can't know without a test to see what your vitamin D levels are. Now, they mentioned Dr. Bradstreet. Now, I had a lot of patients bring him up, along with a bunch of other doctors that died under mysterious circumstances. And what he was working on was a discovery of something called globulin component macrophage activating factor. In other words, we mentioned that the you need the globulins and the macrophages to attack the viruses. Well, these are proteins that are on the lymphocytes. And here's the interesting thing. These important components to our own body's immune system function were being destroyed by an enzyme that they put into vaccines called NAGLase. And so his research showed how vaccine science actually compromises a person's immune system in the long run, inhibiting their natural immunity against all viruses. So, there's another interesting thing. I've said it before that we really can't or haven't yet demonstrated science's ability to improve upon nature. It seems that whatever they do undermines our body's natural abilities to heal. You know, I had a patient in yesterday, and won't go into his personal story, but he was extremely sick, could have easily died, but he recovered, and he was just commenting on the body's amazing ability to heal itself. But you have to remove the impediments to healing. And that's the problem with, lots of drugs and, the vaccines and things like that. New medical research is starting to learn the truth about all these pharmaceuticals. They strain, they inhibit, they suppress the body's natural immune responses. Two new studies on statin drugs show that commonly prescribed cholesterol-lowering statins are actually hindering a person's natural immunity and their ability to respond to the viruses that they're exposed to in the vaccines in the first place. But remember, too, if you're taking a statin drug, it's going to impact your body's immune system and its ability to respond to the viruses naturally as well. Now, at Emory University, where one of the studies were done, they found that the effectiveness of flu vaccine in older people may be compromised somewhat if they are on statins compared to those who are not on statins. So, it's interesting. People are being placed on statin drugs. It's very questionable, the real true effect of a statin drug, but we know for certain it increases the risk of diabetes. It's been associated with amnesia, in other words, dementia. That's been associated with increased risk of cancer. So not so sure that it's preventing heart attacks, because the heart disease hasn't gone away yet. So, statins probably not the best drug to take for a bunch of reasons. And, since I'm talking about that, so how do, when I see patients, and I see them all the time, with elevated cholesterol levels and triglyceride levels. And the recommendations by, you know, sometimes the labs come back with recommendations, and they're always to take a statin drug or niacin or some other drug to lower it. And what I always find, along with the elevated cholesterol, are insulin resistance and elevated blood sugars. So the real approach to correcting high cholesterol, high triglycerides, cut back on the carbohydrates. What could be more healthy than that? Instead of taking a drug and leaving the underlying cause in place, cut back on the carbs. Of course, when I tell a patient that, and I, you know, we spend time trying to figure out how they're going to do that, their immediate response is what's left to eat. And that sums up the problem with our diets in this country. It's way too high in carbohydrates. Carbohydrates, your food supply is what they call macronutrients as opposed to micronutrients. Macronutrients, protein, fats, and carbohydrates. So we know what proteins are. We know what fats are. Everything else is a carbohydrate. But there are, you know, some carbohydrates are better than others. For example, vegetables, green leafy vegetables, colored vegetables, they're all okay. But when you get into the starchy carbohydrates, potatoes, rice, of course, then you have, you know, sugar and all the grains. Those are the bad ones. They're converted immediately to sugar, which raises your insulin levels. And they have a serious impact on the fats in the blood. And people just need to, first of all, be aware of that. Just don't sit back and say, well, I'll just take a statin drug to lower my cholesterol and everything will be fine. Everything won't be fine. In fact, things frequently are much worse. Better than that, make sure your vitamin C levels are optimal. Make sure your vitamin D levels are optimal. That'll enhance your immune system. Cut back on the carbohydrates. And you know what else happens when you do that? Remember all those symptoms that I mentioned at the top of the program? The depression, obesity, diabetes, fatigue, they start to go away when you start improving your diet. You know, nothing could be truer than something I heard many years ago, which I didn't quite understand at the time. I said, that can't be, that we dig our graves with our forks, but we really do. And as soon as we realize that, that hopefully will be the motivation enough to change the way we eat a little bit. We'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard, just west of the Florida Turnpike, or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Jana couldn't be with us today, but hopefully she'll be back tomorrow. By and large, we're talking about just how to stay healthy, identifying people at risk of getting sick before they get sick. I think that should be everybody's goal. Unfortunately, in mainstream medicine, it isn't. They let you get sick, so now they can sell you treatments, drug treatments, surgical treatments, chemotherapeutic treatments. You know why? You know, it's just the way things are when you're in business to sell a product. But the business of the consumer, I think, is to try and stay healthy. Now, one of the biggest complaints, and especially this time of year, you know, with all the parties about the holidays and everything, you know, is has to do with weight issues. And, you know, how come, and I hear this all the time from patients, I eat healthy, I don't eat a lot, I can't lose weight, or I keep putting weight on. And one of the interesting observations has been the fact that antibiotics are found to put weight on people and increase the risk of diabetes. Now, I can tell you the patients we see, for the most part, are in agreement to try and avoid the use of antibiotics as much as possible. This is something that's just coming out. Here's an example. Those people that were given five or more prescriptions over a period of up to 15 years. Now, that's not far-fetched. I think some people get antibiotics several times a year, let alone just five times in a 15-year period. That would be one prescription every 3 years. They are definitely overused. But here's what they found. People that received five or more prescriptions over a 15-year period were 53% more likely to develop type 2 diabetes as opposed to those given antibiotics just once or never. That's a reported study. And why is that? And we talked about that. You know, we had Dr. Perlmutter on the program talking about the microbiome. They're seeing evidence now that bacteria in the gut may influence nutrient metabolism. And this concept was published in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. And that may be how the antibiotics work and cause, you know, increased risk of diabetes. Also, weight gain. They give, you know, animals antibiotics, not just to kill infections, but it puts weight on the animals. And animals' livestock is sold by weight. In a Denmark-based research where they looked at 170,000 patients with type 2 diabetes, and at the same time, 1.3 million healthy people for a 12-year period between 2000 and 2012, they saw that the risk of developing diabetes was highest among those given antibiotics. So I think more and more we're seeing now the connection between all sorts of health problems that are initiated when you take an antibiotic. We commented a couple of weeks ago about antibiotics. Well, just one course of antibiotics upsetting your own microbiome, the gut flora, could last over a year. Another quote from the study, they found that people who have type 2 diabetes use significantly more antibiotics up to 15 years prior to the diagnosis compared to healthy controls. So I think this is particularly important in children. You really want to be very careful about the overuse of antibiotics in children, given the fact that it increases the risk of developing diabetes. They go on to say that the possibility that antibiotic exposure increases not only the risk of type 2 diabetes, it also increases the risk of infections in patients with yet undiagnosed diabetes. In other words, you're developing bacteria that are no longer sensitive to the antibiotics you're giving. That's another problem with the overuse of antibiotics. You get drug-resistant bacteria. That's particularly a problem in hospitals as well. They found that those who had type 2 diabetes filled out on average 0.8 prescriptions for antibiotics per year. So in other words, just one prescription per year, while non-diabetics filled about a half a prescription per year. And there are other key factors that need to be included. They say the influence of other key risk factors could not be ruled out, and it might be that obesity and type 2 diabetes cause an increased use of antibiotics. So, you know, in other words, which came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, if you're overweight and you're taking antibiotics, they may make you at more risk of needing additional getting sick, and, you know, one thing leads to another. You know, it all comes down to a healthy microbiome. And here's the thing, too. Remember I've said, how can you get antibiotics without a prescription? Now, think about that in the context of what I've just been saying, where taking antibiotics increases your risk of diabetes, increases your risk of obesity. Well, look at the livestock you're eating. You know, if you're eating meat, chicken, for example, you want to make sure that they haven't been given antibiotics. You want, you know, grass-fed, free-range, you know, anything where it says antibiotic-free, because, you know, that's another source of antibiotics. And they go on to say here that further investigation into the long-term effect of antibiotic use on sugar, metabolism, and gut bacteria. You see, that connection has never really been looked at. When they do a study to approve an antibiotic, they don't follow those people for a year. You know, they may look at them for a week or two while they're taking the antibiotic to see what happens. So now they're beginning to say these antibiotics are affecting the microbiome, and that's having long-lasting effects. So the key is you have to use antibiotics appropriately. And right now, they're not. They're being massively overused. So, you know, you really want to consider that. So wouldn't it be better, again, to keep your body healthy? So the question of whether you should take an antibiotic or not never even enters the picture. What are the most, you know, okay, we see people with colds all the time, and that's probably the most common reason to be prescribed an antibiotic. Well, if you keep your vitamin C levels up and vitamin D levels up, you'll support a healthier immune system. When you get sick, for example, with a upper respiratory tract infection, the likelihood is that it's a viral infection anyway. Antibiotics are useless in that context. There are natural products that are very effective in strengthening the body's immune system when you do get sick that can shorten the duration of the infection. We have, for people who are interested in a more powerful approach, you know, intravenous vitamin C. We talked about that approach yesterday in the context of killing cancer cells, but it also kills viruses and bacteria and fungus in the body. So that approach can be helpful. We do a procedure here that prior to the it is very interesting. Prior to the invention or discovery of antibiotics, ultraviolet blood treatments were used in hospitals very effectively in treating infections. And then it was displaced by antibiotics because the pharmaceutical industry took over healthcare, and they said, well, we're going to use antibiotics. That's where the money is. Probably another source of or need for antibiotics, urinary tract infections in women, probably a common reason antibiotics are prescribed. You can use D-mannose. It can be very effective taken on a regular basis in preventing antibiotics, and can be even be used to treat the infection very effectively. That's D-mannose. So there are a lot of alternatives. You're not going to get that from your mainstream medical doctor because their training is in prescribing drugs and not in prescribing natural alternatives. I'll give you another example, and I thought about this also. Again, who does your doctor work for? We've talked about that before. And I never mentioned this one. I said, now we're seeing healthcare practitioners working in drugstores and pharmacies. What do you think they're there for? Two things. You know, you go into a pharmacy to see a healthcare provider. Guess what? You're going to get a prescription for a drug. And because you're in that particular pharmacy, the likelihood is you're going to fill that prescription right there. They're not going to prescribe ways to, number one, prevent the need for a drug. And they're not going to prescribe alternatives to a drug. They're going to prescribe the drug. And that's another important consideration. It's unfortunately what's happened to healthcare in this country is it's being taken over by special interest groups. But the only special interest group that should be addressed in healthcare in this country is the patient. That's the group we're supposed to address. But when doctors are working for pharmacies and hospitals or insurance companies, in the context of an HMO, for example, their special interest is their employer before the patient comes in. So what we're trying to do is empower the patient to get as much knowledge as possible so they can be a participant in the decision-making process and how to approach their problems. And the approach I like to take is identify the problem before it becomes noticeable to the patient. Now, not that uncommonly we see patients that do everything right and they get sick anyway. What could be behind that? And by everything right, they're not smoking, they're not drinking, their weight's under control, they're eating a healthy diet, and yet something bad goes wrong. What could that be? Well, some interesting news has come down. We're going to come up on a break in a few minutes. We'll continue this after the break. You know how everybody is on the gluten-free bandwagon now? Some people are speculating that this issue of gluten sensitivity causing digestive problems and even more problems may not really be associated with gluten, but it may be a response to glyphosate, the herbicide used in Roundup, on all the crops, or many of the crops, if they're not organic. And here's the latest when it comes to this. And we've talked about, wanting to avoid those types of crops, GMO crops, where you're exposed to a lot of glyphosate. Long-term consumption of tiny levels, tiny levels of Roundup that are lower than those permitted in U.S. water supplies. So in other words, these are very tiny amounts that the EPA says, may be perfectly safe, can lead to liver and kidney damage caused in part by changes in the genetic expression. So you can see, this is much more of an issue than originally thought. And this is according to a study conducted by an international group of researchers from France, Italy, and the United Kingdom, and was published in the journal Environmental Health. We'll talk more about this when we come back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back right after this.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. Or amtcenters.com.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet, hopefully will be back with us tomorrow. We were talking about glyphosate. That's the active ingredient in Roundup. That's the herbicide being sprayed over the genetically modified crops. The common crops that this applies to are corn, soybeans, I think beets are involved. There's a whole list of other ones, but those are the real common things. And you really can't be sure that you're avoiding this herbicide unless you try to get organically grown produce. So the reason why you want to avoid it, though, they're finding now that even tiny amounts of exposure to glyphosate can cause kidney and liver damage as well as cancerous tumors. They go on to say here that the use of Roundup has exploded worldwide in recent decades. According to an article in the New England Journal of Medicine, more than 250 times as much glyphosate is currently used in the United States today as it was 40 years ago. And this widespread usage means that not only is glyphosate found on the crops that you're consuming if you're not getting organic foods, but probably even worse is that it's contaminating the water supply. The dose used in the study is environmentally relevant in terms of human, domesticated animals, and wildlife levels of exposure. Remember earlier I said, in regard to chlorine and fluoride, you know, the livestock are drinking that type of water. Well, let's add into that glyphosate. They noted that the findings suggest that widespread Roundup use likely has significant health benefits, health implications for both humans and animals. So you have to first of all, be aware of it. And, you know, and that makes it difficult to go out to eat, for example. I like to go out to eat. Most people like to go out to eat. How do you avoid all these toxins from our food supply unless you're going to places where they're serving organic produce? In this latest study, they're showing that there's an accumulating body of research suggesting that Roundup, and by the way, it's still marketed as a safe herbicide, although the United Nations has said it's a carcinogen, but they're saying here that it's highly toxic. In the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health just last year, they connected Roundup to an epidemic of chronic disease in Sri Lanka, while another study has connected the herbicide to genetic cellular diseases in Brazilian farm workers. Now, I remember talking about Roundup, in the last, couple of months or so, and I said, we don't have a test yet for that, and we found a lab that's doing the test for glyphosate. It's a urine test. So that test is available. Now, I think everybody should find out for themselves, are they exposed to glyphosate? It's probably more prevalent than anybody knows. But I'll tell you, probably the highest risk group of people, children would be the highest risk. They're the youngest and probably being exposed to it now more than ever. Remember we said, I think the use was 250 times more glyphosate is used today than it was 40 years ago. So the adults today, 40 years ago, they weren't really being exposed to it like children today are. But I think women anticipating becoming pregnant, you want to do everything in your power to make sure that you don't have all these toxins in your body. And that's why, the detoxification programs become very important. Now, what we try to do with this program is give you the information You can implement on your own. You know, certain easy things to do, cut back on the carbs, eat organic, increase vitamin C, vitamin D levels. Check your levels with blood testing, because without that, you really don't know how you stand. But for a lot of people, they do that and they still don't get the results they're looking for. And that's why we have special medical programs designed to correct all these problems. I started the program off today just talking about, you know, the common complaints that people have: chronic pain, depression, low energy, obesity, insomnia, menopause issues, you know, a whole bunch of those. And if you get on the right program, and the right program really has to do with two things: proper nutrition and avoiding elements of food that are detrimental to your health. It's very simple as that. You do that, and of course, it's really difficult for sometimes to implement the ideal program. And that's why the medical programs that we have set up really make the process a lot easier. Now, at the beginning, I'm going to tell you, you know, it takes a little willpower to change. You know, you're used to eating a certain way. You like your comfort foods. You know, I tell patients that, and they say, oh, but I have to have my espresso with two scoops of sugar in it every morning. You know, so we want to gradually get people to change. And you know what happens? When you make the changes, it becomes self-reinforcing, because you start to feel better. You know, a lot of times people don't know how good they could really feel, because they're so used to feeling poorly that they don't realize they could feel so much better. They're just used to not being in optimal health. So, you know, the gradual changes that we can bring about with these programs accomplish a lot of things. You know, the fatigue goes away, the insomnia goes away, the depression goes away, a lot of the aches and pains go away, the headaches disappear, no more heartburn. And better yet, when you start doing things right with regard to your body, you lose weight, and you don't have to concentrate on weight loss. This is not a weight loss program. This is a program designed to just improve the nutritional state of your body. What happens when you do that? You lose weight, but your blood pressure goes down, your cholesterol goes down, your insulin resistance goes away, you're able to get off drugs. And instead of continuing to take drugs and ignoring all the issues that are important. I'm not saying that you should never enjoy yourself with regard to certain foods that you know you should avoid on a regular basis. Occasionally you can have it, but the key is you won't want to have it when you're feeling so good and you know those foods are what's responsible for your feeling the way you do. So that's, you know, those are the kind of things that we'd like to bring to your attention. Now, I mentioned earlier, you know, our program is sponsored by Advanced Medical Testing Centers. They can get that glyphosate test. They can also get a whole panel of toxins that we may be exposed to. So how do you get rid of them? Well, the first thing, before you do anything, you got to stop being exposed to them in the first place. So that's the first thing. You can't take the steps to get rid of them if you're still putting them in your body. So you got to change your eating habits, and that means avoiding foods that aren't organically grown. That would be a primary source. Now you have to, we mentioned it's in the water supply, so now you have to think about, drinking pure water that wouldn't have these toxins in it. Now, the way you get rid of it in the body, you know, chelation therapy, use of far infrared saunas, regular exercise that increased perspiration. You know, these are the ways you get these toxins out of your body. And at the same time, replacing the fluid loss with pure water. One other thing, weight loss. You know, a lot of these toxins are stored in the fat cells. So as you lose weight and you diminish the fat stores in your body, that's getting rid of a lot of toxins as well. So, for the new year, you know, we're coming upon a new year. These should be the goals for people if you really want to stay healthy. You know, the common complaint that people have
is that if they knew they were going to live so long, they'd have taken better care of themselves. Well, here's an opportunity to take better care of yourselves once you have the information. And to get the information, you have to do the right testing, because you're not going to get it just from the routine tests that doctors do, because they're just seeing what drugs they can put you on rather than seeing how they can optimize how your body functions by, you know, checking, you know, insulin resistance, vitamin D levels, vitamin C levels, coenzyme Q10 levels. These are all very important things to keeping people healthy. So I just, you know, wanted to remind everybody. The event is this coming Saturday. There may be openings. You know, I know we were sold out, but if people cancel, give them a call at Advanced Medical Testing Centers, 754-216-2332. Or go to the website, amtcenters.com. The information is posted there. And I think that just about wraps it up for today. I'd like to thank all our listeners. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio, and we'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.